Thanks so much, Skylar and Grandma. And you may be wondering, is this a Mennonite Brethren church? Last week there was rockets flying, that we do kids camp rockets, and these are all fun things, just toys. My name is Rod, if I haven't met you yet. I'm one of the pastors here at Central Heights Church, and I get to bring God's word to you today. And we're in a special series this summer surrounding the table and special events that happened in the Bible that focused on gathering around table. But I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey, first of all. And a couple weeks ago, I was on a motorcycle adventure. Now, this wasn't just any kind of adventure. I rode to Nevada, actually. And most of it was off-road. Now, I have a motorcycle that can do this kind of thing. And there's a whole bunch of motorcycles out front today. It wasn't by design. Mine's the orange one. And if you look at it, there's a lot of scratches on the side of it. Because I have fallen down a few times on my motorcycle. And in this particular journey, I was riding and thinking about this message. Now, most of this journey, it was a multiple day trip. I was with a bunch of other guys. And for this particular part of the trip, I had to leave a little bit early. So I was by myself for about 5.5 hours in southern Oregon, which is a desert, by the way. When you think about, often think about Oregon, you think about luscious, you know, big trees and the Pacific Ocean. Well, the east side of Oregon is a desert. There's no trees anywhere. And I was riding this by myself. And I was thinking about this message because I knew what I was going to preach on. But I was like, God, what would you like me to say to this congregation today? And there's one particular part of this trip where I had to go down this bit of a gully and up the other side. Now, this picture you see on the screen is captured from a GoPro video. I wasn't filming this particular part of the journey because it's really hard to ride and turn a camera on at the same time. And so I was going down a bit of a gully, and up the other side was a pretty steep hill with these big loose rocks. And it was a skinny trail, and off to the side of the trail was about a 20-foot drop-off. And so as I'm navigating this, I'm going up the trail, and these loose rocks are bucking me around. And at one point, a loose rock headed me towards the direction of this cliff. Now, my other choice was on the other side of this area was prickle bushes and sagebrush and probably some cactus hidden in there. So I had a choice to make. Either I ride it out and survive, and at one moment, I was about ready to jump off because I thought I was going to go down this bit of a cliff. I was pretty scared. And inside my helmet, I was going, no, 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 no. Literally, I was yelling inside my helmet. And there was nobody around, so I could yell as much as I want. I'm sure all the birds and the woodland creatures are just scattered as I'm yelling and rolling up this hill. But in the heat of the moment, the next second after I was about ready to jump off because I didn't want to fall down this cliff, and then in my head, in the split second, I'm thinking, how am I going to get a 500-pound motorcycle up this 20-foot drop-off by myself in the desert? Whew. I was in a tough spot. And in the heat of that moment, I don't know how it happened, because I was literally about ready to jump off. All of a sudden, my bike started to go back up in the right direction, and I made it. Now, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize me doing silly things on a motorcycle. But I really felt like there was a push that got me going in the right direction. And it was shortly after that that God really spoke to me inside my helmet, and he said, you need to talk today about ruts. So I'd been riding in ruts for hours and hours and hours, and this particular rut that I was on up this hill actually almost caused me to crash. And then the similar rut caused me to go in the right direction. And I felt like in that moment, I was in the groove. And that was pretty exciting for me as a motorcyclist who went from saying no, 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 no to yes, I made it. And my heart was pounding out of my chest, and I was able to continue to ride. I've often found myself in ruts on the trails, but also I find myself in ruts in life. That's so true, isn't it, of all of us? We find ourselves doing the same things over and over again. We sometimes, well, often every week, we sit in the same seats in church. And I can find people because I know where you sit. And when that seat is empty, we just we know that we don't have to count that seat on a particular day. But we often find ourselves doing the same things over and over again. It's become habit. And sometimes our ruts we think are really good. Like, yeah, I'm thankful for this rut that I find myself in, and you get going along, and just the way I am, I've just born this way. The best one is, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. There's a few old dogs in here today. I'm one of them, as you saw, I'm a grandpa. And do I do the same thing over and over again? Often. But I would like to think today that you're here because you are interested in change. I mean, going to church is an unusual thing in society. You're actually looking to be transformed. Many of you are born again. A lot of you are on a spiritual journey, discovering what God has for you. So you're actually very much interested in change and not being stuck in a rut. Hopefully you can remember that. And our story from the Bible today shows us some truths about the ruts we often find ourselves in. Looking at John chapter, and it should be Luke, by the way. It's Luke chapter 10. That's my mistake. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now, this is a familiar story. We've often heard about Mary and Martha, and we often jump to conclusions about Martha, and then we kind of talk about Mary a little bit. But I want you to notice something really important. It was Martha who invited Jesus and the disciples into her house. Martha was living in Bethany at the time. It's just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. It's actually about 3 kilometers away from Jerusalem. So if we all got up right now and started walking, 3 kilometers is Seven Oaks Mall. Now, for some of you, go, oh, yeah, I walk that all the time. For the rest of us, we go, I don't want to walk that far. And when I get there, I better have a snack. And for some reason, I'm thinking about New York fries right now. I don't know. And I'm thinking about the coolness of that food court and eating some fries. But we think about having a break on a long journey. And after walking about 3 kilometers, Martha invites Jesus and his disciples into her house for a meal. So Martha is probably, in this moment, doing the right thing. She was demonstrating great hospitality. This sounds like a great thing. And for me, I love to make sure things run smoothly in the church. My title as executive pastor means I get to do everything, and I get to look after lots of different things in the church. Things like unlocking the doors and turning the lights on and making sure the air conditioner is working. That happens usually about an hour before the service starts. I love fussing around for those kinds of things. And that's just something that us Marthas do. Maybe you're like that too. And if you're not like that, you can nudge the neighbor next to you going, yeah, you're kind of like Martha. You're always fussing and worrying about all the logistics of the house and what's going on and things like that. It's kind of weird, isn't it, that we worry so much about those kind of things? Looking back in Luke, she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now let's talk about you Marys out there, always lounging around, getting served, probably getting all the attention. Tell her to help me. As a reforming Martha, I'm trying to understand. When I became a pastor here at Central Heights Church, my kids pointed out something to me. They said, Dad, you talk a lot more than you used to at church. You actually stay and don't leave right away after the service is over. Well, you see, I used to be in the restaurant business, and I had to leave right after church to go serve all of you. And so I would just get out of church as fast as I could because I had to go back to work. Well, now I get to talk. And then my kids saw something different in me that they hadn't seen before. And so I was actually, as a Martha, had to change a little bit in that way. I think we can all do that a little bit. And yes, us Marthas can change too. And if you're interested in joining my Martha support group, I'll be locking the doors at noon today. We can walk around and talk if you like. Now, did you notice Mary's posture? at the feet of Jesus where she could listen intently, almost catching the words of Jesus as they were coming out of his mouth. Mary was submitting, and in fact, even getting out of the way, and it was likely that they were all sitting on the floor. And if you think about it, Jesus had just walked 3 kilometers, and so at his feet, it probably wasn't the most desirable place to sit. And because she was at his feet, she couldn't move around because she would just be distracting for the other people. Mary was locked in. She couldn't move. And that was super frustrating for Martha. Martha's looking at her going, "You're not doing anything." So what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Yes, we need Marthas for things to run smoothly, but her focus was not on the right thing or the right person. Martha was missing the heart of discipleship. Now, we talk about discipleship a lot here. It's part of our vision. We say, you know, making disciples or being a disciple, disciple. We talk about being a disciple a lot and what discipleship is. But being a disciple does not mean that we serve Jesus. Well, that's a pretty bold statement, Pastor Rod. Being a disciple does not mean that we're serving Jesus. Now, let me explain by reading some scripture. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Later on, Jesus quoted from Isaiah, and he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Our memory verse for kids camp is fantastic. So the kids, I know there's not as many of them here. You only saw just a handful. There's about over 70 that were at kids camp. And I came today to church to rest, because I had grade 4s. And I was exhausted. I made a couple of rules for myself at kids camp this year. Never sit on the floor, because it takes me too long to stand up. And they're gone by the time I get up. And I make weird noises when I do that, when I stand up off the floor. And the other one was don't run, because when this freight train starts running on the field, it's hard to stop, and I'm going to stomp on a kid. So those are just my personal rules that I had to make. But I came to work today to rest, because it was exhausting, but so fun. There was one, I got to tell you one quick story. There was one boy, we made coupons this week, and the coupons were designed to give to somebody. So we're going to serve one another. That was kind of the theme. We're going to serve one another. His coupon was to give to his mom, "I'm going to sit still for 5 minutes. I was like, that's the best coupon that mother could ever receive, because I don't think he sat still for more than 2 seconds the whole week. So anyway, kids camp was fantastic, and Ellen, who is covering our maternity leave for Laurel, our filling in as our kids pastor, did a fantastic job. Thank you, Ellen, for all that you did. Yes. Now let me get to the point of the memory verse. So don't show it up on the screen yet. The kids that are here, do you remember it? Can you say it nice and loud? Maybe. There's not that many of them, so I'll maybe have to do it. I taught my group, there's 4 steps to this verse. It says, "I give you a new command. Love one another. You must love one another just as I have loved you." Now you can show up on the screen there. Now this is from the NIRV version, so the words are a little different than NIV. NIRV means New International Reader's Version. So it's a little simple. So I give you a new command. Love one another. You must love one another just as I have loved you. That's amazing service, isn't it? The best part about that verse at kids camp, it's John 13:34, and they would say nerve at the end of it. John 13:34, nerve, quoting NIV, NIRV. So Martha thought that she was doing what Jesus wanted, to be focused, to be even anxious about service. She thought she was being a disciple by serving Jesus. Now, I don't think any of us start off our day going, "Oh, I hope I'm really anxious today. I hope I'm really worried about a lot of stuff. I don't think anybody has ever started their day off like that, but how quickly do you start to enter that? You have dreams even as before you wake up. I know my wife does. She's already got lots of things going on in her head before she even opens her eyes. And some of us are like that. We worry about all the things that are about to happen in our day, and we focus on the wrong things. These are sometimes our tendencies, our priorities, our expectations that we put on ourselves, or sometimes expectations that we think others are putting on us. Yes, I think we can all agree that anxiety is something that we all kind of work through. Maybe not the Marys in this room as they sit at Jesus' feet. But allow me to clarify something. I'm not talking about the expectations that we shouldn't be doing. Yeah, hard work is important, but that's for another message. It's called Rod Loves Hard Work, But He's Not About to Try. That's another time. We're going to talk about that another message. Now, allow me to clarify a little bit more. Let's talk about Mary, the good one. If being the disciple of Jesus means that we are not serving Jesus, then what should we do to be more like Mary? Simple. How about we receive Jesus' words? Now, I get that we all struggle with listening. Some of you are asleep right now, in fact. And because of the sin that entered this world, because of what Adam and Eve did, we have become separated from God. But at the same time, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, by dying for our sins and raising back to life, and then blessing us with the Holy Spirit, we can hear God all the time. We just need to listen, reading His word. Be still and receive it. James chapter 1 says this, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Romans 10 says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard throughout the word, through the word about Christ." The word of God is powerful. The word of God created this universe. The word speaks to us clearly through Scripture, and the word is in us because of the Holy Spirit. Listen. Being a disciple of Jesus is actively listening to Jesus. It's not serving Him, it's just listening to Him. In another visit that Jesus had with Martha and Mary, in a little bit later after this story that we've been reading so far, a similar scenario takes place. Let me read from John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. By the way, Lazarus is Martha and Mary's brother. So this is a personal story. This is something that's intimate to the family. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. So you see, Martha served. She was still doing the things that she was good at. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So what was different in this story compared to the first one? Yeah, the room smelled a lot better. But Martha was doing her usual serving, but she wasn't being anxious. She was doing what she should have been doing. Martha was in the groove. Now, what do I mean by that? I titled this service, Ruts and Grooves. This is what God had spoken to me when I was riding my motorcycle on the trails. Talk about ruts and grooves. I'd been riding in lots of ruts, but I also have discovered on this trail some really nice grooves. So the definition of ruts and grooves in the dictionary is this. A rut and a groove, while both being depressions, differ in their nature and connotation. A rut is a deep track or furrow, often worn by repeated passage, and usually implies a negative, uninspired root or state. A groove, on the other hand, is a narrow indentation or channel, and can be either deliberately created or naturally occurring. In a more figurative sense, being in a groove is generally positive, suggesting a smooth, efficient, and enjoyable flow, while being in a rut suggests being stuck in a monotonous and unfulfilling pattern. Wow, that's a pretty good definition. When I was a kid, I played with the Strombecker racetrack. There's a picture of it on the screen. It's a pretty cool racetrack. Yeah, I'm old, so the picture's old. But in this track, there was grooves, and your car would make contact with the electrical circuit in the track, and your car would go pretty fast, but it would stay on the track because of the grooves. You can see how grooves can be actually a good thing. Now, my little brother and I he's just a little bit younger than me, we would often, compete on this racetrack. And because I was a bit older and I thought I was smarter, I always picked the faster car because I was also stronger than him and he didn't have an opportunity to resist. But one day, I was probably teasing him a little bit too much. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, probably I was. And he took my car and threw it against the wall and smashed it. I was so sad, I took it out on him with my fists. I'm not telling you that story to talk about two brothers fighting over a racetrack. I'm talking about how good it is sometimes to get into the right groove. It's a positive thing to find yourself doing the right thing, making the right choices, getting in the groove. Now, a lot of you know what Hot Wheels are, and I got a Hot Wheels car in my pocket just, by coincidence. I love Hot Wheels. As a grandpa now, I get to play with Hot Wheels again. And just by coincidence, I happen to have a Hot Wheels track with me. And I know Lyndon does lots of illustrations, funny ones, so I thought I had to do one today. You didn't know that was in there the whole time. It was a bit itchy, and I got a bit of sweat going on my back because of this. But it was worth every moment watching your faces, me playing this Hot Wheels track out. I was going to bring my motorcycle out here, but there's too much oil coming off the bottom of it. So anyway, a Hot Wheels car, if you don't have a track, it can go all over the place, right? It can just fly. But if you put it on a track, it can go straight and true. Sometimes. You get the idea. Often, our lives are chaotic because we don't put ourselves on the right track. So how do we get on the right track? I got some points for you, some things that will help us. The first thing is to look up. It's so important for us to look up when we're caught in a groove. Now you can imagine that sounds pretty simple. Just look up. But when you're in the groove, when you're looking down, you don't see what's going on around you, and sometimes you get caught in a deeper and deeper rut. You actually don't see far enough down the trail to know that, in the future there's actually a drop-off in this rut. I maybe need to choose a different groove. See, remember the difference? A rut is usually negative, a groove usually positive. It sounds so simple, but we get fixated on the problems around us and we get locked into this particular rut all the time. Another part of my journey on this motorcycle was I got stuck in a pretty bad rut. In fact, the rut was sand at first, and it rained in the desert. It rains in the desert sometime. I was thankful because it was 42 degrees when it started to rain, and it got all the way down to 30. And so I was actually thankful for the rain. But what it did to the sand when it rained was it turned that sand into mud. And it actually started ruts on the trail. And I was looking down, and all of a sudden this rut ended me up in the ditch, upside down. And I was by myself, so I had to pick up this 500-pound motorcycle. I was able to do it. But this desert crash reminded me that I need to look up. If I was looking up, I wouldn't have followed that rut into the ditch. So many times in our own lives, we don't look up. So I want to encourage you, whatever rut you find yourself in, maybe it's, it's inner thought life, the things that are going on around you, the social circles you have, maybe you need to just look up. The second point is you need to slow down to change ruts. Just like my story of going into the ditch, I was actually going too fast as well because I wasn't able to slow down enough to stop myself from going in the ditch. And I've discovered that it's really hard to change ruts when you're going too fast, isn't it? When you're going 100 miles an hour, it's hard to slow down. I've discovered this in other ways too. One time I tried to step off of a skateboard. That sounds really easy, but the skateboard happened to be moving down a hill at the time, and I found out ways in which I can bounce on pavement. That's another message for another time. A few years ago, I was actually talking to a senior gentleman in Saskatchewan, and I was asking him about what it was like to drive in the early days in Saskatchewan, knowing that where he lived, there was lots of really straight roads, of course, but they're all gravel roads, gravel grid roads in Saskatchewan. If any of you have been to Saskatchewan or lived there, I know we have a lot of people who have heritage there in Saskatchewan, you can picture straight roads that sometimes go into a bit of a valley because there's rivers, but mostly they're straight, but a lot of times they're just gravel. And this gentleman said to me, when they've put pavement in Saskatchewan, he hit the ditch the first time he drove on pavement. Which sounds really strange to me. I'm like, when I drive on gravel, it seems like you can hit the ditch a lot easier in gravel. And he goes, I just knew how to drive. You just drive loose. You let the car go. And the ruts and the grooves in the road will guide you. But as soon as he hit pavement for the first time, his loose driving turned into an immediate crash, because he wasn't sure about the surface. What did he need to do? He needed to slow down, which is really funny when you think about it. He told me, his advice to me, when you hit pavement, slow down. I kind of do the opposite. When I hit pavement, I go faster. So he hit pavement and he slowed down. So sometimes you need to slow down too. Martha was anxious to serve Jesus. And we can picture her flying around the kitchen. What did she need to do? She needed to slow down like Mary and sit at Jesus' feet. The final one, make good choices. Now, my kids are probably laughing at this one right now because they probably heard this every single day when they went to school. My wife, Amanda, would say to them, make good choices. What was she talking about? She was talking about them making good friends, doing the right things, having a good attitude, doing all the things that would turn into good actions by making good choices. So many times we can see ruts in front of us and we still go, that looks like a bad rut. Oh, I'm still going to go there. We find ourselves making the wrong choices often in life. And we know there's consequences to those things, or we discover them the hard way. Making good choices is really important. Now, I think we all know what we need to do. We all know that we need to get in the right groove. And ultimately, what is that right groove? Listen to Jesus. Let's pray for all of us in that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this story, this reminder that we need to listen to you, Jesus. So wherever we find ourselves in this day, I pray that you would help us all to get out of the ruts that we find ourselves in. Help us to slow down, to make changes. Help us to make good choices. We need you, Jesus. We need to listen to you more. So I pray that you would help us to do that this week. In Jesus' name, amen.